I'm going to continue the teachings on crossing the threshold of true worship. Crossing the threshold of true worship. Because these last few weeks, months, the Lord has really been impressing upon my heart the true meaning of worship. And for us to come to a clear understanding of what it means to worship the Lord and how we can reach a place of deeper intensity. We can intensify our worship unto the Lord. We're not just talking about the experience of worship as we come together within the congregation, but this is an indicator of that. But then that worship must be an extension of what takes place within the house. We come here, we gather together in His name, and there's something that God is imparting to us to empower us to go forth with what we've received from Him and take it to the world. So I'm going to read the scripture again, and I'll just read portions of Ezekiel chapter 47, beginning with the first verse. And I would recommend you read all of this so you could see the full picture. But it says, then He brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gates that faced east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters came up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, waters in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river, were many, very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, the waters flow towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, and for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that the fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi and En-Gallim, and there will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many, but its swamps and marshes will not be healed. There will be given over to salt along with the banks, and it goes on and on and on. And believe me, it's going to take a while to really delve into this prophetic picture, because he's giving us a symbolic or a depiction of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He is saying to us that the day is going to come when there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit with supernatural signs and wonders. And I believe we are fast approaching that day where we will experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When it talks about the waters that will begin to flow from the temple, and we begin to see how that water will begin to flow from the temple under the threshold. Oh, there's a whole lot to be said concerning that. And I want to kind of scratch the surface on this today. The threshold of the temple, as we mentioned last week, is a very holy place. It is one of the holiest places because it is the doorway into entering into a transitional phase. What I mean is that when you enter into the doorway, you're entering into a place of change. You're going into a place of transition. So understand, this is what God is saying to us, that we are experiencing birth pains because we're going through a season of transition. That we're not to be the same once we go through this passageway as we were before we entered in. But it's going to, as we enter into this passageway, this doorway, we must be at a place where we're expecting something to happen. Don't go through this and not expect anything. You see, but we're going through this expecting something to happen. We're expecting something to develop within our hearts and our lives. That's what we must, where we must be. We must expect. I'm talking about all the things. We're talking about those that have suffered, those that have gone through, and we praise God for the testimonies of healings that have already taken place. Some have already received healings and manifestations of the Spirit of the Lord, but yet we also recognize that there are many others who have not experienced it as of yet. And then we begin to see where it looked like the enemy is stirring up more activity than any other time, because what happens, we're in the process of transition. In other words, when you go through transition, it is saying that how you were was not sufficient. The way you were beforehand was inadequate. You see, there was something more in store. There was something more that the Lord wanted you to experience and to come to knowledge of, to know. And the only way to know that, you must enter into the door. But you must, as you enter the door, you're passing over what's called the threshold. The threshold. We talk about this threshold. It is, we understand, there are boundaries between the inside and the outside. We see the inside, you can look in and you can see it, but there's a boundary between where you are and what you see. If you see it, you see it, but you're yet to enter in. Except a man be born again, he cannot what? He cannot see the kingdom of heaven, or heaven, the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven. But unless he's born of the water spirit, what happens? He cannot enter into what he sees. So the Lord is really saying is that I'm going to show you something, but my objective is not just to show it to you. I want you to enter into the experience of what you see. I want you to begin to experience what you see, so that now this is your new environment. In other words, the Lord is saying, I'm inviting you into my world, so that now this becomes your, this is your reality rather than what you consider to be your reality beforehand. But there are boundaries. There are boundaries. Now, I think about this word threshold, and we look at the root word of threshold, we see the word thresh. Thresh. What are we talking about? The thresh. Threshing. Threshing. You see, it says to thresh as he suddenly comes into his temple. The Bible talks about it in Malachi 3. I'm not going to read it, because the Bible says it talks about cleansing and purging. In the book of Malachi 3, you got to read that, where it talks about cleansing and purging. It talks about, when he talks about threshing the wheat, he is separating the wheat from the chaff. There are things connected to the seed that needs to be separated, because what happens, you don't mix, you don't allow the wheat and the chaff to remain, but there has to be the threshing, and he places that wheat on what's called the threshing floor. Because here, he goes through a painful experience as it is being separated, the wheat from the chaff, because he, the Bible says, he is like a refiner's fire. So you go through the fire. What is the fire going to do? The fire is not to burn you up. But what is the fire there for? To burn off of you the stuff that needs to be gotten rid of. So he takes gold. If it's real gold, it would not be burned up. But it will survive the fire, because when it goes through the fire, everything that's attached to it that ought not be there in order for it to be purified is removed. So the Lord is taking us through a purification process. We are being purified so that all of this is being taken away. So now we begin to see he is like the refiner's fire, and the Bible talks about the fuller's soap or the launderer's soap. Not only must we go through the fire, but we have to be cleansed. We have to be washed. The stuff that remains must be washed away, so that all the residue, whatever might have been in the past, the residue of our past must be removed from our lives. Because there's a whole lot of residue. There's a whole lot of stuff that still remains after you've gone through one process, but you've not gone through another process. A whole lot of the residue still remains. And there's a tendency of carrying the past into the new experience. He has said, when you cross the threshold, don't bring that old stuff over here. But leave that stuff back there. Don't bring it in here, because it's not, it doesn't belong here. He said, so I need to wash you. I need to cleanse you. That's what hearing the word of God is all about. You're being washed. You're being cleansed. You're being purged. Yes, the word is like a fire. His word is like a fire. It's like a hammer breaking rocks to pieces. And we realize that it's like a fire that burns us. It's not a very comfortable situation sometimes when God is speaking, because we feel the pressure that's brought to bear against us. But when all of that's done, the Lord says, now what am I going to do? Now the refreshing comes. I'm going to wash away all the residue. That's refreshing. I'm going to wash away all the residue. All of the stuff that need to be gotten rid of, I'll wash it away. I'll purify you. I'll cleanse you, so that all this residue that in your life from your past is being removed. Now, as we think about this, we're talking about the church now. All of this applies to the church, those who are within the church. First of all, that we may be in position to keep the covenant to which we made with him. Because understand, we enter into covenant with the Lord, and whatever that covenant is, we want to be, he made a covenant with us, but then how can we maintain the covenant that we enter into with him? Because in a covenant, it requires both sides to be faithful. You see, it's not just what God has done for us, and we hear a whole lot of that. This is what the Lord has done for me, what the Lord has done for me, but what are we doing in response to what the Lord has done? That's a whole other chapter, isn't it? What are we doing in response to what the Lord has done? How are we responding to his initiative? What kind of lifestyle are we living? Are we expressive of the love that God has so richly poured into us? And how can we do it? So what the Lord is doing, he said, the way to do it, I got to change you. I have to change you for you to be in a position to be able to give expression to that love. Those within the church being regenerated, be regened, hearing and understanding the message given to us in these times. Because when you hear the word of the Lord, we get understanding of what the Lord is saying then. You see, because I want you to know what I'm saying. You see, you won't even be able to understand it unless God brings you to the place of having a purity of heart. You see, when he purifies our heart, then the word of God become sensible to a person that otherwise would have missed it. Are you hearing this? So in other words, God can speak. I'm going to talk about speaking in a while. When God is speaking, there are some people can hear and some people can't hear. You see, God is talking, but there are some people can't hear it. Some people can't receive it. I reject that. You see, I reject that. And other people say, well, I'm so glad. This is refreshing to me because now I know something that I didn't know beforehand. You follow that? Knowledge can be a turnoff to some, and it's something that would be a compliment and a resource to assist that person in their spiritual growth to another. But it all depends on how your heart is and where you're coming from. So now let's look at what he is saying here, the understanding, the message that he's giving us in these times, in these days, in these hours, God is just speaking. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 16 says, For who having heard rebelled, indeed was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Wait a minute. He said, now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned? Now listen to what happened. Here they heard the word of Moses, but it said, but who are the ones that rebelled? The same ones, you hear this now, that heard the message. The same ones that heard the message are the ones that rebelled. So what happened, they heard the message, and instead of being responsive to the message, it produced within them what's called hardness of heart. Can you imagine that a true message can cause one's heart to become hardened? rather than become more sensitive to the message given. But it says, who are they? He said their hearts were hardened, and as a result of it, look at the result of it, their corpses fell in the wilderness. Now, I'm headed somewhere with this because we're going to look at the same people. The result of that is that, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter in his rest? So now we begin to see the result of it is that while he gave an opportunity and he gave his word that they may enter in, you see that we talk about crossing the threshold now. Crossing the threshold, they will enter in, but they were not able to enter into his rest. When it talks about the rest of God, that's a whole nother, that's a subject or something it'll take a lot of time to give full explanation to. And we trust that as we continue this message, you'll get a clear understanding of what it means to enter into his rest. But it says they always had quarreling and discontent. There was always confusion. There was always turmoil, tensions. All of those things existed. Why? Because they never entered into his rest. Now look at the water. The water flowed, and then eventually that water produced results. It, as it flowed, we begin to see that it produced healing. But here they never entered into his rest. So as a result of it, their corpses fell out of their disobedience. For they were disobedient, so their corpses fell. Where? In the wilderness, along the way. The journey. They didn't make it to the end. They didn't make it to their destination. They were on the right. You see, they were on the path that God had ordained, but they never entered into his rest. They didn't get to the destination. And we're praying that all under my voice will enter into his rest. He says, so we see that they could not enter in. Why? Because of unbelief. They couldn't take the word seriously. That word. So now we begin to see the distinction between Christianity and Christendom. Because a lot of people, I had opportunity to speak to a young lady a few days ago, and I began to listen to how many people's attitude towards the church, as was said, even to some of the groups in Jamaica, attitude towards the church, have a difficulty with the church, but they look at the church not based upon the church as it really is, but Christendom. And Christendom is really the perception that people have of the church based upon the expressions that take place among those that say that they are the church. Do you see that? So now, Christendom is a larger picture. That's what many people are looking at, but not really understanding what the church is really about. So understand this, but those that enter in, they enter into the blessings of God are those that, this is the church. They're the ones that came into the temple. They crossed the threshold. They crossed the threshold, and as a result of crossing the threshold, they entered into the rest of God. And they're the ones that, you see, you don't just join the church. You see, you just don't join the church. But you see what happens? When you're born again, when you're born of the water and spirit, you enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then what happens, there's something that there's a transition that occurs within your life as you cross that threshold of death into life, whereby now the things of God become more meaningful. But you understand, when you come in here, now you need to explore all of the mysteries and benefits that are yours once you've entered in. So enter into the blessings of God, and then what happens, here's what happens. God is going to, this is prophetic now, he's going to allow the waters to flow from under the threshold so that once they've entered in, and here's where the water's going to flow. It's going to flow to the outer courts. It's going to flow into the outer courts. Now listen to what we mean by the outer courts. The outer courts is a place where the Gentiles were allowed to gather. You see, we talk about the Jews and non-Jews. What's going to happen? The anointing. Now we are speaking of it as being the anointing. The anointing that is within the temple is going to affect the whole world. You see, God is going to allow the influence of the church to affect The whole world. Now the greatest thing that God has given us, you see, he said we are the what? The salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. Now, salt is for influence, right? Salt influences food. So what happens, it is a seasoning for food. It's never to overpower the food, but it's to provide seasoning. So the flavor is there of whatever, you see, the salt brings out the flavor. So what happens, the Lord is wanting to use the influence of the church so that the influence of the church will begin to affect the outer courts, so that now the world will experience our influence. You see, so in other words, what is happening among us? That's why you need to. That's why there's a fuller soap, and there has to be refined as fire and fuller soap, because his objective is to use our influence. Now what happens if he's going to use our influence? Then first of all, we must be influenced by the Spirit. As the Spirit influences us, we must be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit of God. And then the influence that we have then can pour forth and begin to affect the outer courts. It is not mere religion, but it's pure religion. See, mere religion, the Bible speaks of pure religion, undefiled religion before God, unspotted, where you're visiting the widows. You begin to do stuff to make a difference in the lives of other people. Now, I'm trying to get somewhere in this, because I want you to begin to see, as we speak of the wisdom of God, how God is going to, in these last days, impact the world in such a way that we've never seen it imported before. Because the Bible says that the day will come when the knowledge of God will cover the earth even as the water cover the sea. God is going to make his knowledge, his wisdom known. Just a few scriptures just to quickly illustrate what I'm speaking of. 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak wisdom. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Nobody could see it. None of the rulers of this age knew, for they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have behaved differently. But as is written, what God has for us is beyond what we've experienced in the past. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither entered the hearts of man, the things which God prepared for those who love him. So what God is about to do is not be compared to what God might have done. We can look at what God did, and we can be inspired by that. But what God is wanting to do now surpasses anything that he might have done in the past. Can you imagine that? All the great revivals of the past, all the great signs and wonders of the past. What God is ready to do now is greater than anything that he's ever done before. And here we are. God want to use us. This ain't hype now. This is truth. And then as we look at it, here's how the Message puts it. I want to read out the Message paraphrase. We, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you. Once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground. What's the criteria? Get your feet on firm spiritual ground, and then you can receive the wisdom. He said, but it's not popular wisdom, the fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts who will be out of date in a year or so. They step past. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of his purposes. Oh, I just stopped right there for a moment. Look what he's saying. That the wisdom of God explores the purpose of God, but not surface, not a surface exploration. It goes deep into the purposes of God. Do you see what I'm saying here? That which God had, because what happens? People, generally speaking, will merely look at the surface. This is what I see, therefore I'm reacting to what I see. God said, my purposes are much deeper than that. My purpose is much deeper. When you went to Jamaica, when you danced, whatever, you did more than just dance. When you did more than just prayed for the sick and ministered to the sick and fed the hungry and clothed the naked, whatever you did. You did much more than that, because God's purposes are far deeper than we could at any moment comprehend. You see, you don't know what you see. You're judging this thing based upon how you see it. You're judging this thing by what you see. And you're going to mess up now because God is saying it's more complex than what you see right now. You think that this one little thing is small, and God is saying, no, this is a big thing. He said, from where I stand, he said, this is a big issue here. There's a problem and headquarters is trying to get your attention to say that you need to pay attention to what I'm trying to show you. Give the most earnest heed to these things that you're thinking are small. He said, because here's what he says here. As we begin looking from God's perspective, I like the way the message puts it. He said, high-priced experts, God's wisdom is something mysterious. He talks about the mysteries of God. It's deep. They go deep into the interior of his purpose. It goes deep because the Spirit knows these deep things, into the purpose of God. He said, you don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest. In other words, it's rooted and grounded in the history of God. That which God is trying to show you is what God has already known. You see, here we discover certain things, and God says, let me tell you what I've always known. These are things I've always known. See, you think you're dealing with what you see now. The Lord is saying, I'm going, when you hear the word of God, God is taking into account what he knows. He says, I know my thoughts. Let we know the part about I know my thoughts, I think towards you. I know my thoughts, period. I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm thinking. I know what's on my mind. And my thoughts are not linear. I'm not progressing in my thinking. But what I think, I thought. And what I thought, I think. Am I making any sense here? He said, so in other words, God's mind is fixed. His ideas are not to be compromised. And he doesn't, I know when we hear words about how the Lord repented, it's not talking about God really changed his mind. These are anthropomorphic terms. What I mean by that, these are words to help you to understand from your position of what God is trying to convey to you as a human being. But God's thoughts don't ever change. God has made up his mind as to what he wants to accomplish. And every activity, every act on God's part is a furtherance of his plan and his purposes. And he's saying, I want you to come with me. Don't me come with you. You go with me. Stay with me now. Look at what he says here. He is saying that these things, he said, it is not the latest message. It's the oldest message. We keep coming up with new stuff, and God is trying to take us back to his original plan, his original idea. That's why I can't be so modern that we just kind of go with the latest fad. There's a whole lot of things we can say. Well, we want to. How do you reach more people? How do you become more effective? Well, come up with the latest fad. Let's look at best practices. Let's look at what others are doing, and let's begin to model what many of them are doing. There are certain things we can learn from them. But let me tell you something, but we must do what we are to do without compromise. You see, we can't compromise the standard. There's a standard, an established standard, that we must uphold regardless of how things may change from day to day. Now, let's look at this. Here we begin to look at where God is. What God determines on the way, determines as the way to bring out his best in us. You see, what God determined as to bring, his thing is to bring out his best in us. I like the way he puts it. It's what God has. We mentioned the grace that's upon your life, the grace that he has granted you, the thing that God has purpose for you to do. His objective is to bring the best out of you. And how is the best brought out of you? Is when you use the grace of God for the thing that God would have to use it for. That you don't misapply the grace of God. You've been graced. Nobody can serve in that capacity other than you. You are uniquely you. God has given you a place. I wish you could hear me now. God has given you a place in his economy, a place. So you feel that you're out of place. You don't know enough about God yet. You feel that you're useless. You feel that there's no contribution to be made by you. You just don't know enough about God yet. You see, you need to begin to take to heart what God is saying in His Word so that you can, through His Word, find your place. Don't try to find your place based on what other people think. They say, well, I think you should be here, you should do that. No, let God show you where your place is. And then occupy your place and don't be out of place, because the objective is that we're workers together. And our objective is to see to it that the works of God are carried out in our generation. Whatever will be a deterrent to God's work being carried out, you're working not for God, but you're working against Him. You still with me? I didn't lose you. So don't be one to worry. So the experts of our day, it says, it's not the latest. When God determines along the way, He brings out the best in us long before we ever arrived on the scene. The experts of our day haven't a clue about what this eternal plan is. If they had, they wouldn't have. Now, this is what they did. They wouldn't have killed the master of the God-designed life on a cross. So in their process, rather than working with God, they crucified Jesus. How did they do it? With best intentions, they crucified the Lord. So having good intentions isn't good enough. So how many times do we crucify the Lord afresh because of the fact that we just didn't understand His purposes, which were old intentions? They were from the foundations of the world. That you find yourself crucifying the Lord afresh. In other words, you become the problem rather than the solution to the problem. You become the deterrent to the impact that God desires to make in its generation rather than the person that God will use. Now, I trust that's not you. I trust we don't have anybody in this congregation like that, that you hear this and you, but if it is you, you begin to do heart searching and say, Lord, I want the fuller soap and the refiner's fire to burn this out of me. Are you still with me now? If they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the master of God's designed life on a cross. That's why we have the scripture, the text, and it goes on. But then it says, but God has revealed, this is the New King James, God revealed it to us by the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. It goes into the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, you see, the only one know the man is the spirit of the man. Your spirit know you. And no one know the things of God except the spirit which is from God, the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. What is the spirit of the world? It's when we begin to follow the dictates of another. That's the world. That's the world. That's when we figure things out on our own. That's the spirit of the world, the spirit of this age. He said, but we have not the spirit of this age. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? Because that's the only way for us to know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God makes us aware of what we have. We have more than we realize. We have more going for us than against us. But it may appear as if we have less going for us than, and look like everything is against us, because it takes a spirit. If you would not, I'm looking at the time too, but listen to this. We look at the things freely given. These things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. We mentioned all of this. They can't receive it, for their foolishness to him. They don't make sense. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is not rightly judged by no man. For he has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. We have the mind of Christ. Now, let me push it forward, because these next few minutes, I'm going to get into the heart of the message. I'll have to come back and review these things. I got a lot to say about what I just read, but I want to get to this thing of language, because that's where I was headed last week, and I didn't get to it. But the language that reaches the heart, the dialect, and you see, what is the language that really reaches the heart? Is when the dialect of the people, when their dialect is mysteriously spoken through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's when, in other words, it's when I can talk your language, but I can give you God's message. That's where I want to head. I want to, just for, as we close, I want to cover that for a moment. What does this mean? Because we understand the wisdom of God. God has a way of relating to us. God has a way of relating to us. God can identify with us. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world, so that he can identify with us. He can identify with us. He wanted us to, it is deity becoming humanity, so that now we have a connection to deity, you see, so that we can see how humanity can live being fully surrendered, fully submitted to deity, to God. So now we talk about this language, and here's what the Lord showed me. This is something I've never heard this before, but the Lord began to show me, even as it relates to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He gave me a perspective of that, because I've taught it many years about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but now none of what I said, none of those things are being negated. But there, we talk about searching for the deep things of God. Now I begin to see a depth contained within the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I'd never seen before. And when I saw this, it just, you talk about my eyes being opened. And I'm going to go to that for a little while. And then for those of you that's interested, if you keep coming, you're going to see, I trust that you'll see it with me, what God is showing us. On Wednesday nights, we've been teaching on how the body is to be rightly connected. How we as the body of Christ need to be rightly joined. And how that connection is important. How it can cause the body to grow. And how we can become productive and effective in the things of God. Because we understand the life of the body. The head giving directions to the body. And then how the body is to function. So all of that we're dealing with on Wednesday night. So Wednesday night, as we understand why we are to be rightly assembled. Why we are to be rightly joined. Because there are questions. There are questions that you would or ought to be asking if you're not asking the questions. I believe God is answering on Wednesday night. I believe he's answering those questions on Wednesday night. Because we mentioned even on Wednesday night about how what God does, he helps us to measure the climate or the temperature of the congregation. Where are we at this particular time in history? Where are we as a people? You see, as a congregation. First of all, where is the church in this day and time? And then where are we as a local fellowship in this time? So Wednesday night, we're talking about all of that so that we can begin to assess where we are and then what we ought to do. This is better than having a church meeting, you see, because you're hearing from the Lord and receiving instructions as to how we're to be rightly assembled. So as it is a church meeting, really, it is a church meeting, but it's better than just a church meeting as you would call it to be, because Wednesday night is church meeting. So when you show up at the church meeting, now on Sunday morning, we're taking you to another level of understanding the operation of the Holy Spirit. That's where I'm headed now. Because here we begin to understand the language that reaches the heart, how God can speak to us, and that message can pierce and penetrate our hearts and lives, so that as the Holy Spirit pierces and penetrates our hearts and lives, we're now more open to hear and more receptive to what God has for us. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. It says, it's familiar, you all know it, but we're going to see it differently now. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, where were they? They were all in one accord, with one accord, in one place. That's enough right there. And the church said, amen, let's be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, fellowship. You see, we can just let it go right there. But here's what happened. One place, on one accord. That's a whole lot, isn't it? Now, not just one accord, not one place alone, one place on one accord. That didn't just happen. It took a whole lot of what we're doing to get people to a place of being in one place on one accord. Now, wait a minute. Jesus Christ showed himself to over 500 people. But on the day of Pentecost, only 120 showed up. What happened to the rest of the crowd? Only 120 took the word seriously enough when he says, that when he told him, he said, it's not for you to know the time or the season which the Lord has reserved his own, preserved his own power, but you shall receive power once the Holy Ghost have come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. So in the meantime, go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So 120 out of over 500 showed up. Is that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? So everybody didn't show up, did they? Why? Because everybody didn't take the word seriously. Only 120 showed up. Now, let's go on. I ain't picking on nobody. I'm just preaching the word. But watch what happened here. So when they showed up on the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were on one accord, one place, and then it says, but the criteria was what? One accord, one place, suddenly. Then suddenly there came a sound from heaven. But it took them being in one place on one accord. Then suddenly happened after the criteria was met. And there was a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house that they were sitting, and they appeared to them cloven tongues. And appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. And one sat upon each of them, each one of the 120, not the 500. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Now, what I'm going to deal with briefly is the crowd's response now. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under the heaven. And when they heard the sound occurred, the multitude came together. Now we see the gathering of the multitude. Why? They heard the sound of the 120, which called the multitude to come together. Now you got a larger number than the witnesses. You have a whole multitude that gathered together when they heard the sound. Where did the sound come from? The upper room. So from the upper room, there was a sound. And when they heard the sound, the multitude gathered together. But out of curiosity, so they came together, and it didn't produce knowledge or resolve. It produced confusion. I still ain't made my point yet. I'm just kind of skirting around. I'm flying around something here that I want to get to so bad. I probably won't get to it today, but listen to this. So it produced confusion. They were more confused than beforehand. Why were they confused? Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. The language barrier had been crossed by those who spoke in other tongues. So when they crossed the language barrier, then they were all, not only were they confused, now watch what happened. When they recognized, first of all, they were confused because it sounded like confusion. All they heard was noise. Because everyone was speaking. Can you imagine this? If you're speaking French, Hebrew, Greek, Spanish, and everybody speaking at the same time, it's that rushing, you hear rushing waters, you hear jumble, mumble jumble. But then when you begin to pay close attention to what's being said, you begin to hear that there's a message in what's being said that's being directed towards me. Not only is the message being directed towards me, because here it is now. What God is saying to those that may hear it, it may sound like mumble jumble. But then if you start honing in on specifics of what's being said, you said, no, you're talking to me. You're talking to me. I didn't even know that was directed. I thought, see, from a general point of view, it just sounded like it was just noise. But then I began to, I was in a restaurant yesterday leaving, before I came to the recital, and I stopped in this place, and you talk about noisy, this place is small, and I was looking for a place to grab a quick sandwich. I walked this place, I said, Lord, I made a mistake, I came to the wrong place, because this place is so loud. Everybody, because it was small, and because everybody wanted to be heard, they talked louder than they would talk otherwise. So you can imagine, small place, tight, everybody screaming. And the waitress came by and I ordered something, and I said, I want iced tea with lemon, extra lemon. She came back and brought me lemonade. I said, ma'am, I said, wait a minute. She said, you said lemonade. You said you want lemonade. And I almost got, ma'am, you're rushing. You're rushing me now. You're rushing me. Because I know what I said. But I caught myself. I caught myself and I said, no. What I did, I said, I grabbed her by her arm and I said, it's so loud in here that you probably didn't hear me. But I said, iced tea with extra lemon. I said, but it's so loud in here. I said, but I'll take the lemonade. She said, no, I'm going to bring you iced tea. I said, okay, get the iced tea. But you don't have to. I'll drink the lemonade. But it was so loud. When I finally got a place, I was so glad. I'm kind of rabbit trap. I was so glad to get out of that place. It's so loud. But that's what it sounds. It sounds like noise. But then you start listening. You see, she needed to hone into my order. In the midst of all that noise, she needed to hear what I was saying. Don't just listen to all that noise. What am I saying? What is God saying? Because he's saying something sensible in the midst of what appears to be noise. Because he's talking to everybody at the same time, but he also has a message for you. Now, let's look at what he said. They were confused. And then when everyone began to recognize, they began to take their piece of it and say, he's speaking to me. The other person said, he's speaking my language. He's speaking my language. He's speaking. Everybody began to hear their language. Now they were not confused, but more so marveled. They marveled and amazed, saying to one another. He said, look. He said, aren't all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language? We hear each in our own language, in which we were not just our own language, but the origin of our birth. You're talking to my roots. You're speaking to the root of my being, because it wasn't just the language, it was the origin of their language. It went all the way back, because you could speak, you see, if I came from Brooklyn, Illinois, St. Louis, Missouri area. So if you speak with a St. Louis accent, and you call me Junior, I said, oh Lord, you messing with me now. You took me all the way back to my childhood. I ain't been that long time. But now you took me all the way back to my childhood. He said, so you took me all the way back to my childhood. He said, they're speaking in such a way that they took me back to the origin of my being, took me back to my roots. I'm headed, if y'all could just bear with me. So then they began to look and say that Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, city after city after city, Libya, just all these places. He said, what is going on? We hear them speaking in our own language, and they're speaking of the wonderful works of God. Wow, they're speaking of the wonderful works of God. Things that, watch the message now, the wonderful works of God, how's it being spoken? In our native tongue. They're relating to me, but they're not bringing my message to me. They're bringing God's message to me. They're speaking of the wonderful works of God. The wonderful works of God. So then, in their amazement, and they were perplexed. You see, they went from one stage to the next. Now they're amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? That's half the crowd. What does this mean? This has to mean something, because this phenomena is so outstanding, it's overwhelming. What does this mean? That I can hear the wonderful works of God in my native tongue. You see, now why is it some people can't hear the word of God? Because all they hear is confusion and noise, because they've not honed into what God is trying to say specifically to them. But now, listen, now we begin to ask the question, what does this mean? This has to be a sign of something that is far beyond anything I've ever experienced before in my life. He said, because every one of us, from all these different places, they're speaking our language, they're speaking in our tongue, but they're giving us a message of the wonderful works of God. What does this mean? But then there are some that they brush it off as if it's just a foolishness. You see, people do that too. They brush things off. But when a lot of times you make light of something or you try to make it comedic, you try to make it comedy, you're doing it because that's your way of protecting yourself, guarding yourself, because you really want to deal with reality. So the others begin to mock it and begin to say, hey, these folks just drunk. They just drunk. They're full of new wine. The reason they say, how can a drunk man speak all these different languages? And each one speaking in various tongues. They're speaking the language of the people. So everybody's language is based on. They hadn't heard their language yet. All they're still hearing is what? The noise. They hear the confusion. They hear everybody speaking. They hadn't honed in on the specific message as of yet. As we need to hone in on the specific word that God is giving us so we know where the grace is to be applied. He said, they're drunk. So Ben Peter stood up. The preacher stood up there. The preacher said, let me bring some clarity to the phenomena that's taking place right here. And that's my job now. Preacher, bring some clarity to what's going on in this confused environment. People having issues and people going through this thing, that thing, and the other. The enemy disturbing in various areas of our lives. Let the preacher speak now so we can bring some clarity to all of this confusion. Peter standing up with 11. They all stood up. And I want y'all to stand with me now, you see, because if you're not standing, then you may be one of the mockers or one of the people trying to figure out what's going on. But the 12 were disciples. They all stood up with him. Peter spoke, but they all stood. Now, who's standing? Do you see what I'm saying? Who's standing up? Who's standing up? Because if are you still confused? Or are you standing? So when they stood up with 11, he raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. He said, these are not drunk as you suppose. They're not inebriated the way you think they are. They're not as mixed up and messed up as you think they are. They have more sense than they are more sober than you are. He said, they're sensible. See, you're the one that's drunk. You're the one that's not making any sense. He said, but they make sense. They're not drunk as you suppose. He said, since it's only the third day, hour of the day. He said, but this is that. Prophetic. Point back to the original. Going back in history. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he began to give a historical or a prophetic picture of what's taking place. And it did come to pass in the last day. It shall come to pass last day, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my manservants, on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. That's what true preaching is. Giving a prophetic picture and projecting you into your future. And let me just tell you what God is saying, even concerning tongues. Because we see the gift of tongues. And I won't have time to cover this who I want to, but the gift of tongues. We understand the twofold application of tongues. And you got to hear this later on because I got to go deeper into it. One is self-edification. You're being built up in order to be a builder. You know, speaking to yourself, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, are edifying yourself so that you're built up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. But here's the other thing, too. God want to use you, and I'm flipping it all the way to the end. He want to use you so that you're postured to speak the language of the people that you have been called to minister to. That's where I'm headed. I'm going to build up to that, but I'm just going to, since we're out of time, let me just show you where I'm headed. The Lord is wanting to use us. We see the phenomena of tongues in the beginning, and we understand tongues, they said the tongue shall cease. It hadn't ceased yet. It hadn't ceased yet, but understand the application, and let's look into the mystery that took place or was taking place. The Lord is wanting to use us so that we are postured to speak the language of the people that we minister to, because we got to connect with folk. See, if I'm not speaking your language, you can't hear the wonderful works of God. But if I can speak your language, I can speak millennial language. You can speak senior citizen language. You can speak child language. You can speak white folks' language. Do you know there's white folks' language, black folks' language? What are we talking about here? Oh, I can't wait to get to it. Connecting with people. What God will do as the Spirit is being poured out upon us. He will posture us so that we can connect. That's the point. So we can start connecting. We can connect with folk. And when we connect with them, when we connect with them, a person that's in drugs, we got to connect with the drug addict. We got to connect with the prostitute. We got to connect with the homosexual, the lesbian. We got to connect. That's a language. There's a language. There's a language barrier. Oh, I'm giving you a lot of it now. There's a language barrier. So that when I say a thing, they hear something different. When you say something, they hear something different. You see, they're hearing differently than what is being in fact saying. So what we say is confusing them more than bringing people together. But when we learn their language, not learn their language, the Holy Spirit will speak through us the language that we had not learned. See, one would tell you, learn the language of the people. Learn the language of, then you walk in there, what it is, bro? What is that? Don't try to learn the language. Don't try to learn the language. There's nothing supernatural about you trying to relate to people and try to be something that you're not. But when they hear the wonderful works of God in their language, spoken through you, we're talking about this congregation now. That's one of the things we're talking about, connection groups and things we want to do in the church. We're going to speak the language of the people. We're asking the Holy Spirit to you got to hear what I'm saying here. He's going to give us a supernatural gift. This is the Holy Spirit now to speak different languages. To speak different languages. In this particular instance, they spoke in different dialects. They said the dialects of the people that they were to minister. He still can do that. I think Bishop Wellington Boone was telling me about one person that he ran into. He said where God gave him the gift, gave this individual the gift. He said where they began to minister in a particular place where he knew nothing about the people. And the gift came upon this individual where this person spoke in the dialect of the people, the person that he was ministering to. And he said, and from that point going forward, he could speak that language without any issue. He could hear, not just speak it, he could actually hear what that person was saying in their language and speak in the language or the tongue of the person. He said, supernatural. He said, it wasn't just for a moment, it was there. And I said, now, if God did it one time, he can do it again. One gentleman came here one time and he spoke French. He was from Africa, but he spoke French. And he took us up, we were up in the room having fellowship up in our upper room. And as we were eating together, this he wanted to pray for everybody. But he did speak English, he spoke French. But when he began to pray in French, in his dialect, the power of God fell on all of us. And we wondered, what is this all about? What is this? Because, you see, the Spirit connected to our hearts. So in our hearts, we received the message that this man was conveying to us in French. Because the Spirit knows no barriers. Oh, y'all got to stay with me in this message here. The Spirit of the Lord knows no barriers. And let me tell you something. You got to speak female. Man, you got to speak female. Women, you got to be able to interpret male. You got to speak children. You got to speak child. You see, there's a language barrier. There's a language barrier that exists among people today. And it's going to take the Spirit of the Lord in order for that language barrier to be overcome. I'll quit. I don't want to. I'll quit. But Father, we pray that the word will go richly within all that have heard it, and that we will come to that place of understanding what you're saying in a way that we can relate to it. Not words that's been spoken at us, but life being poured into us, so that after having heard, we gain an understanding. And that understanding is beyond human comprehension, because it's what you would have given us, so that the veil of confusion will be lifted, the cloud of confusion will be lifted off this congregation, so that we can go into areas that would be foreign to us. But when we speak, our words will arrest hearts, because your arresting presence will go with us. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this day and this hour. And it doesn't take a whole lot of people, because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. And your Spirit is here because you're giving us an uncommon word to hear as to how we are to evangelize and how the message is to be spread. But Lord, I pray that if we're going to be fishers of men, we must first be caught. If we're to be instructors of men, we first must be taught. Whatever we're to convey to them, we must receive first ourselves. So, Lord, I just pray that your word will take root within our hearts. And then may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, as you continue to be our strength and our redeemer. We give you the praise, we give you the honor, and we give you all the glory. Let our worship be pure. May our worship be whole. May our worship not be something that's fabricated based upon some perception we have of you, but let it be based upon who you reveal yourself to be to us. Let that be our purpose for worshiping you and our objective in serving you. So in this, we give you the honor, we give you the praise, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.